Rafiq al-Shabazz had settled such questions to his own satisfaction. I had first met Rafiq while working with some of my leaders on setting up a job training center to serve the South Side's unemployed. He was a slight, wiry man with a goatee and a skullcap that accentuated a pair of prominent ears, a former gangbanger who had formed an organization called the Roseland Unity Coalition. The purported purpose of the organization was black empowerment and economic development. According to Rafiq, the coalition had been critical to helping Mayor Washington get elected. From what my leaders told me, however, Rafiq spent most of his time intimidating local businesses and elected officials into giving him small contracts for, quote, community outreach and other vaguely defined ventures. In fact, it was after we negotiated with the city of Chicago to open up a new job training center in the area that Rafiq called me up and launched into a rapid-fire monologue.
"We gotta talk, Barack," he said. "What y'all trying to do with the job training needs to fit into the overall comprehensive development plan I've been working on. Can't think about this thing in isolation. Gotta look at the big picture. You don't understand the forces at work out here. It's big, man. All kinds of folks ready to stab you in the back."
I eventually gathered that Rafiq had an interest in having the new training center we just proposed to the city locate in a certain building near his office on Michigan Avenue. I didn't ask the particular nature of that interest. I doubted I could get a straight answer out of him. And anyway, I figured that we might be able to use Rafiq as an ally in what was proving to be a series of sticky negotiations with the city. If the storefront he had in mind met the necessary specifications, I said, then I was willing to propose it as one possible alternative. So Rafiq and I formed an uneasy alliance, one that didn't go over too well with the DCP leaders. I understood their concerns. Whenever we sat down with Rafiq to discuss our joint strategy, he would interrupt the discussion with long lectures about secret machinations afoot and all the black people willing to sell folks down the river. It was an effective negotiating ploy, for with his voice progressively rising, the veins in his neck straining, leaders like Ruby would suddenly drop into a curious silence, watching Rafiq as if he were an epileptic in the midst of a seizure. More than once, I'd have to jump in and start shouting back at him, not so much in anger as simply to slow him down, until finally a small smile would curl under his mustache, and we could get back to work. When the two of us were alone, though, Rafiq and I could sometimes have normal conversations. Over time, I arrived at a grudging admiration for his tenacity and bravado, and, within his own terms, a certain sincerity. He confirmed that he had been a gang leader growing up in the Augale Gardens public housing projects. He had found religion, he said, under the stewardship of a local Muslim leader, unaffiliated with Minister Louis Farrakhan's Nation of Islam.
"If it hadn't been for Islam, man, I'd probably be dead," he told me one day. "Just had a negative attitude, you understand? Growing up in Augale, I'd soak up all the poison the white man feeds us. See, the folks you're working with got the same problem, even though they don't realize it yet. They spend half their lives worrying about what white folks think. Start blaming themselves for the shit they see every day, thinking they can't do no better till the white man decides they all right. But deep down, they know that ain't right. They know what this country has done to their mama, their daddy, their sister. So the truth is they hate white folk, but they can't admit it to themselves. Keep it all bottled up, fighting themselves. Waste a lot of energy that way. I tell you one thing I admire about white folks," Rafiq continued. "They know who they are. Look at the Italians. They didn't care about the American flag and all that when they got here. First thing they did was put together the mafia to make sure their interests were met. The Irish, they took over the city hall, found their boys some jobs. The Jews, same thing. You telling me they care more about some black kid on the South Side than they do about relatives in Israel? Shit. It's about blood, Barack. Looking after your own. Period. Black people the only ones stupid enough to worry about their enemies."